Grace and peace be to you through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is written in Hebrews in the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So far the text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, dearly beloved of God, and you spot the golden thread that the Holy Spirit has woven into each of the following Bible verses, four of them. Listen carefully. Romans 8:17, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Second one, Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, you are part of Abraham's family, you are heirs according to God's promise. Passage 3, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And the fourth and final verse from Titus 3, 5 to 7, God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us generously through Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs who have the hope of eternal life. Did you catch the golden thread? In each of these verses, the Holy Spirit presents the glorious truth that we have become heirs. We are beneficiaries of an exceedingly grand inheritance. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. And the Lord wants us to live every day in anticipation of the time when we shall come into our inheritance. And as we wend our way as pilgrims through this world in which our lives are touched by problems and trials of various kinds that cause us inwardly to groan as we wait for the day God shall bestow on us our inheritance, we are encouraged, and our text reminds us and exhorts us to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Because he's faithful, just as the prophet Moses was. He's worthy of greater honor than the prophet Moses was. And he's the fulfillment of all that the prophet Moses wrote about. Now, Moses, the famous prophet of old who lived about 1,500 years before Christ, we might wonder why the author of Hebrews singles him out and makes a point of calling our attention to him. I think he did this because he wants to draw for us a contrast for us between Moses and our Lord and Savior Jesus, of whom the prophet Moses was a type or a picture. Just as Moses was steadfast and faithful in following God's commands, a characteristic that stands out as you read about Moses' life in the Bible books, Exodus through Deuteronomy, is that he was blessed with a fiery zeal to serve the Lord faithfully all through his 40-year ministry. He was faithful in all God's house, that is, in serving the household of God's believers. And here's the contrast. So Jesus, our great heavenly prophet, carried out his work as our Savior with flawless devotion. He stepped into our shoes under God's law so that he might do for us what the prophet Moses could never do. Also, when the time drew near for Jesus' bitter suffering, he did not veer or waver from the mission his Father gave him to do, even a little bit, but continued all the way in his work as our faithful king, priest, and prophet. This, why? So that we might become heirs of a very rich inheritance. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, writes the author to the Hebrews, who share in this heavenly calling, fix your thoughts upon Jesus. At this season of the year, as Reformation time approaches in a couple weeks, we want to be especially mindful of this because the temptation still exists and is very real, as it was in the days of Luther, to think that what makes our heavenly inheritance secure is our faithfulness. If I work hard enough for the Lord, if I do what I'm supposed to do, if I work hard at following the commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, then he'll love me and bestow upon me a rich inheritance. So it's important that we be reminded regularly as we sing, if your beloved Son, O God, had not to earth descended, and in our mortal flesh and blood had not sin's power ended, then this poor, wretched soul of mine in hell eternally would pine because of its transgression. But now I find sweet peace and rest. Despair no more reigns o'er me. No more am I by sin oppressed, for Christ has borne sin for me. Upon the cross for me he died, that reconciled I might abide with thee, my God, forever. Get that heavenly inheritance to come. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus also because he's definitely worthy of greater honor than the prophet Moses was. Yeah, it's true that the Bible does teach us as Christians to honor godly people of the past as we think how the Holy Spirit blessed them with a steady, stalwart faith. We teach our children to do that, don't we? To think highly of God-fearing people like Moses. When we teach them Bible stories about their life, the story of Moses being set afloat as an infant in a wicker basket by his mother Jochebed on the River Nile to protect him from Pharaoh's murderous clutches, and his being discovered by Pharaoh's daughter in the bulrushes there and taken home and raised in Pharaoh's house, Moses being called by God at the burning bush, used by the Lord to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, to Sinai, finally to Canaan, and the Lord using Moses also as the one who gave us the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. He's among those whom the author of Hebrews describes in chapter 11 as a great cloud of witnesses whose faith we as Christians are to follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And by the way, the same could be said of those whom we've known personally who have spoken to us God's word. Parents, pastors and teachers who've served us faithfully in the past, and others who have played a key role in our spiritual training. Yes, we should think of them with happy thoughts and honor their memories. But they're only human, with no ability to bring us into our inheritance. The value of their work, as with all human prophets, teachers, and spiritual leaders, well, it depends on the work of the greater prophet, Christ, who is worthy of our highest praise. And note the vivid way in which the author of Hebrews brings this home for us. He says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Have you ever driven through a neighborhood of a town where you live, on a suburb maybe of Denver, maybe a place that you visited on the side streets off the main drag, and you noticed how it's dotted, the neighborhood, with many elegant homes? Very, very beautiful. You might even say, man, how beautiful these mansions are. I'd like to get a tour of that house. What skill it took the builders to build these houses. All the expert plumbers and electricians and craftsmen, carpenters and masons to make the construction of these beautiful palaces possible. Remember when I was living in Texas years ago, there was a road construction project being worked on known as the High Five Interchange, north of downtown Dallas. A massive five-level freeway interchange, the junction of two major highways, the Lyndon B. Johnson Freeway and the Central Expressway. And whenever I drove over it or through it, I couldn't help but marvel at the masterpiece that it is, and to think about also the remarkable smarts that it took to pull off that building project successfully. Well, the thought the author of Hebrews is presenting to us here is that as faithful a man as Moses was, as great a spiritual leader as he was, part of the building of believers, the Holy Christian Church provided us, as I said, with five Bible books. Jesus is worthy of more honor because he's the designer and architect of the whole universe. And not only that, he is the one who has built the superstructure of the Holy Christian Church. The spiritual edifice he started constructing already in Eden when he blessed Adam and Eve with faith. And ever since, he's been using the construction materials, the gospel and the word and sacrament, with the Holy Spirit as his general contractor to add on to his building. Whenever the gospel is spoken from a pulpit, whenever it's presented to children in Sunday school, when it's shared by Christians with their friends, when it's read and pondered at home in a devotion by family members, the Savior is at work, mortaring precious souls in as living stones into the structure of the Holy Christian Church and making them heirs, heirs of his eternal kingdom. Some passages that speak about this very thing, three of them, I'd like to share with you. Ephesians 2, 19 and 22, where Paul wrote, "You're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." 1 Peter 2, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, and coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And a passage from Psalm 118, which Jesus quoted just a few days before he died on the cross in the temple. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And all the more marvelous, all the more remarkable, my friends, when we consider that not even hell's fury, hell's gates, can knock this building down. The High Five of Dallas will be gone one day. the buildings of downtown Denver skyline and the lovely homes that we see in neighborhoods and the house that we're living in will all pass away, but not the building that Jesus has built, of which we are the living stones. Finally, we fix our thoughts on Jesus as Christians because he is the fulfillment of everything that Moses wrote about. We read in verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying, writing about what would be said in the future. One of our favorite verses comes from the writings of Moses. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses said, "The Lord God is going to raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. He's the one that you're to listen to." And the very first gospel promise in Genesis was written by Moses under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, actually spoken to Satan, a gospel verse, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel," urging his fellow Israelites to fix their eyes on the one who is going to fulfill all the gospel promises of the Old Testament. The Lord teaches you and me to do the same today as we travel life's road, as we go through our day, as we get up in the morning, head off to work or work from home as the case may be, as we run our errands as a mom or dad, as we engage in our school studies as students, as we travel down the road in our cars in rush hour, as we engage in leisure activities to fix our thoughts on Jesus, to do as the little girl did church one Sunday morning before the start of the worship service, snuggling close to her mom as the organist played the pre-service music, happened to be "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Her eyes were fixed on a picture of Jesus that her teacher had shared with her in Sunday school. And looking up into her mom's face, she pointed at the picture of Jesus and said, "That's Jesus. He loves me." Even so, let's remember, Christ loved us, gave himself for us. He who is the fulfillment of all scripture prophecy, including all those written by Moses, by which the Holy Spirit of God will enable us, final verse of our text, to hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. And yes, then finally also to be recipients of a rich inheritance. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Your Holy Spirit from me, restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold with your Spirit.